Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
Welcome to the GSMC Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Susan. Of course, with me as always is Jeff Malinoff. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. I'm in the mood for pie, though. What about you?
No, I am not. Coffee will do for me at this moment in time. But we have a lot to talk about today. We have to talk about, of course, Eden Hazard. He has made his decision on where he will play next. We'll talk about the ramifications of that decision. We'll talk about Chelsea and their eventful week as they have basically been on both ends of the spectrum in terms of a roller coaster ride this week. We'll talk about the rest of the English Premier League as it is heating up with recent results that have drawn the table closer together. We will talk about City and Spurs, are they back in the race? We'll see how far they are and where they stand as is. We'll also talk about the Copa del Rey semifinal, El Clasico edition, which the first leg will be happening later on today in Barcelona. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about more racial abuse in the English Premier League. It seems like we just cannot shake this problem. We'll also talk about a new young Portuguese player that United and Real Madrid are tracking very closely. And we'll take a look ahead at next week's Champions League action, which will start off the round of 16. We have four games happening next week, so eight teams involved in those four matchups. And then a couple high-profile soccer players, superstars in the world of soccer, that celebrated birthday this week on the same day. Actually, it's kind of crazy when we break it down, but let's jump right into it. Eden Hazard.
I try to jump into it, and I hit the screen.
Yeah, don't do anything. Oh, okay. Do us.
Okay.
Eden Hazard, he has been under the speculation for this entire season, at least this season. I would say it has gone even further than that. He had been a transfer target for Real Madrid last year. We heard the rumors. And now as they heat up around the transfer window, which has just ended, we see now that he has made a decision. He has expressed that he has told Chelsea what he wants to do for his future. And that decision is
going to Real Madrid.
Well, we don't know.
Well, yeah.
We actually do not know. Officially, he has only stated
it sounds
Chelsea
like it's
knows
almost,
his future.
It sounds like that's what it's going to go down to, though.
It has not been officially revealed, but he has told media that Chelsea know his plans for next year and his desires. So it sounds like, yes, that he has made a decision to go to Real Madrid, because if his decision was to stay, he probably would just say,
I'm staying. Straightforward, very simple. But the response from Chelsea is they also are putting his transfer. I think they were looking at, last time I checked, it was like £200 million, which is, holy moly, that would have been, was that the largest transfer in history? If that actually went down or not?
No, Neymar was more than that, at least Neymar. There might be one or two others, but
so
it would be big.
Premier League history, then, in theory, because that was Neymar went to PSG. That's the transfer
right.
You're
Neymar
referring
went to PSG
to
from Barcelona. So Possibly in Premier League history, yeah.
Otherwise, like for American audience, I believe that's 130 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, something like that.
And that's just to talk to him. That's just to have discussion
with
him.
That is to secure him. He would agree to a new contract, of course. But, right. But yeah, no, it would be quite a splash. And
yeah.
We know Real Madrid, they are a club that they don't like to be where they're at right now for very long. You know, they don't like to be on the outside looking in, I guess you could say.
They are a team that is synonymous with winning and championships, and they want to continue that. And after losing Ronaldo, they'll need all the help they can get, and Hazard could be a huge boost to that, going back to where they need to be, or want to be, at least.
Right. So, you know, they are still in Champions League at this moment in time, and but it looks like they're pretty much done in terms of the Spanish league and winning the league, as they're sitting at 8 points behind Barcelona for first place. They are still in the Copa del Rey, and we'll talk about that later on. But, you know, it is something that it looks like Real Madrid is going to make some major, major changes this summer. And it sounds like they are going to build their new team, their new improved team, around Eden Hazard. So,
yeah.
It makes sense.
The thing is, with Hazard, he's been like the face of Chelsea for like the last 7 years since he went on there in 2012, and he is still like considered one of the greatest. He's not the greatest, but the best, one of the best soccer players in the world. So this is a huge loss for Chelsea if this actually does go down, when it comes down to the final, if this transfer does happen. So this is a good for Madrid, bad for Chelsea type of scenario, if you ask me.
That is true. However, if they do get $200 million for Eden Hazard,
oh, it would look pretty good for them.
Able to replace him with a few players. They already signed Christian Pulisic for about $58 million, it sounds like, this summer. So they already have a player coming in. They'd be able to use that $200 million, maybe get another two or three exceptional players. So, you know, it all depends on what Chelsea's plans are in terms of how will they replace Eden Hazard. Now, ultimately, for me, if I'm Chelsea and Eden Hazard wants to leave, I sell him. I for sure sell him. I get that big fee and then move on and then rebuild the club that way. Chelsea does have other
players.
And
I'm sure Chelsea would be back and still in contention for next year's Premier League if that does happen. I don't see them dropping very far down, to be completely honest with you, if just losing Hazard. Because, like you said, they can afford a lot of other key players to their team, and they would just be maybe in the same position there, maybe even higher up, but who knows, but they will still be in contention.
For Chelsea, you know, their focus is, at this point, their focus has to be making it to the Champions League next year, and that means finishing in the top four, which they are fourth right now. They sit in fourth at 50 points. However, Manchester United, and Arsenal sit right behind them at 48 and 47 points, respectively. So for Chelsea, their whole thing is they must finish the season in the top four. They must finish the season strong. If they don't finish the season strong, if they finish outside of the top four, and remember, Manchester United has been streaking. They have not lost under their new manager. If Chelsea cannot maintain their top four, that would be a huge issue. If they cannot get back in the Champions League, because we know they're in the Europa League this year, and they are a club that it's Champions League. If you don't make Champions League, it's a terrible next season, because that's the kind of club Chelsea is. They're one of the top six, and only four make it, unfortunately, from England. So,
yeah.
They had a very eventful week, and I think we need to talk about that in particular. Chelsea comes off a 4-0 loss to Bournemouth, of all teams. A shocking, shocking result. One of the worst results in the history of the club. To lose 4-0, all four goals scored on in the second half. And it was a terrible performance. The players, they crumbled. I mean, for lack of a better term, they just...
It was embarrassing.
They got hit with adversity and they crumbled. They did not respond.
I mean, just losing 4-0, like, 1-0. There was demoralizing in the second half, and then they just kind of collapsed after that first goal. It just got extremely out of hand. Like, it got just bad to worse, and then it was just like, it just got ugly.
And this coming off 2 weeks prior, losing to Arsenal 2-0, losing to Tottenham in the first leg of the EFL Cup. Now, they did come back and win in penalties. So, a very eventful week for Chelsea as they advance to the final of the Carabao Cup, the EFL Cup, and then they turn around and they get blasted by Bournemouth. And a lot of people were wondering if their coach would be on the chopping block. After when you lose a game like that, a lot of questions are asked. But they come back and they win 5-0 at Huddersfield, which answered a lot of questions. It was Gonzalo Higuain's first goal for the club. He scored twice, in fact. Hazard added to himself, and 5-0 is a very good way to come back and to put away, I guess, that game against Bournemouth. It's a good way to just erase it from memory. However,
probably the biggest turnaround you've seen from one game to another at being blown out.
It is crazy to have a 9-goal difference, right? Lose 4-0, win 5-0. Like, that is crazy.
Yeah, it's a humongous change for sure.
However, Manchester City is the next opponent for Chelsea, and it's away. Manchester City this weekend away for Chelsea. That is about as tough of a game as they're going to get for the foreseeable future. However, Jeff, there is no reprieve here. They play Manchester City. Then they play the first leg of their round of 32 Europa League against Malmo FF, which is a team from Sweden, a decent team that they should be able to take care of. But they go from Manchester City to Manchester United in back-to-back weeks.
That is pretty rough. Extremely rough. Borderline unfair.
And then they play Malmo again in the second leg, but then they play Manchester City in the EFL Cup final. So they play Manchester City twice in 2 weeks. And then they play Tottenham at the end of the month. So this month for Chelsea, man, it will sink them or it will project them into a Champions League spot next year. I really feel this way. They must get a result against Manchester United. Manchester City, obviously, nobody's really expecting them to win that game. But
well, Manchester City's on a tear right now. They actually might end up winning the Premier League for all we know.
Absolutely. So it is imperative that Chelsea has a good month of February. And it started off great with that big win against Huddersfield. But Huddersfield is by far the weakest team they will play this month. So it will take a number of good results and a number of things to go their way this month. Obviously, the distraction of Eden Hazard, if it is true that he is set to go to Real Madrid, if it is true that he has informed the club that he wants to leave, this is a time of year where these things can build up. If the fans get wind to him wanting to leave, they can turn on him.
A
couple bad performances at home can really bring out the worst in people. It can bring out a lot of tension and a lot of frustration. So we have to be on the lookout for Chelsea's fans this month as they respond to Eden Hazard. And again, the decision is kept quiet, but people run wild with speculation. We've already seen journalists speculate on that he will be a Real Madrid player, that he has informed the club that he wants a move to Madrid in the summer. So we will see.
Yeah, and with Chelsea or fans finding that out on Twitter, like they hear about these rumors as well, there have been not nice things to say about him. I've seen some nice tweets where someone's like, "I'm happy for him. I want him the best for him, and he wants to win Champions League. Thank you for your time here," like that kind of stuff. And there's also like, "He'll never be successful. He's a scrub," and all these hateful things. I'm being very how do I say this? I'm being very PG about it because I'm not going to say what actual words were used because I saw a lot of curse words there, definitely.
Yeah, and, I mean, fans are going to be, it's like they're going to be, it's like the five levels of grief, is that what it's called? Where it's like the shock and then, you know.
I'm actually going to look that up. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's denial, isolation, anger, which bargaining, depression, and acceptance.
Acceptance, yes. So
it's going to be, some people are already at acceptance and some people are only at anger. So,
But anyways, we'll go to a short break, and then when we come back, I'm going to tell you about the latest in the English Premier League. As you know, this league is far from over. There's a lot more drama left to happen. We've already seen quite a bit. We'll also talk about the Copa del Rey semifinal, El Clasico edition, and other things going on. But first, let me tell you about investing and planning for your retirement. It's always best to get advice from the experts. Best-selling author Harry Dent, America's number one economist, says the dark window is open. There's an opportunity to rapidly boost your retirement savings before the greatest stock market crash in American history. But this dark window won't be open for long. You can make 10 times the annual average stock market gain in just a few short months. According to the research of renowned Harvard economist Harry Dent, though, this window could slam shut later this year, and nobody on Wall Street is expecting it. This dark window is something bigger by far than anything he's predicted up to this point, and you can make 10 times the annual average stock market gain. Find out more by going to www.harrydentforecast.com. There is a very short time to take advantage of this dark window, so go to www.harrydentforecast.com to learn more.
Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? The GSMC College Football Podcast is your ticket to all things college football. Join us as we talk college football from the national championship, the college rivalries, the bowl game, to the Heisman Trophy, to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, the Pac-12, ACC, and everything in between. Download the GSMC College Football Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, or anywhere you find podcasts. Just type GSMC in the search bar.
Welcome back to the GSMC Soccer Podcast. Please check out our podcast network for other great shows. In addition to soccer, we do baseball, basketball, an everyday sports show. What am I missing? Fantasy football, football. I think that's it.
Any sport you can think of besides like rugby and cricket, we probably are going to do.
Yeah, we start that cricket podcast soon, right?
God, I hope not. No, nothing against cricket fans.
I know
nothing
about cricket.
I know legitimately nothing about cricket. And it seems like that sport where time stands completely still.
Uh-huh.
And you will never get those 3 days back.
So we got to talk about how tight this race is for the English Premier League. And I will say, sort of a rant, I guess, that I'm about to go on.
Ooh, rant time. Yay. Do I need to hold you back?
No, okay. No, it won't be that bad. A lot of pundits, a lot of analysts have been saying over the course of the last month that Liverpool's lead is insurmountable, that it was obvious they were going to win the league. And, you know, I kept saying there's way too many games left. There's way too many games left. You can't just say halfway through the season that it's over when there's only two or three games that separate these teams. There's just way too much. And what we know about the English Premier League is that any day a team is a tough team to beat. It doesn't matter what they are in the standings. It doesn't matter who they played last. We saw Chelsea lose 4-0. Then they win 5-0. We've seen Newcastle United beat Manchester City recently. Like, we've seen all types of results. And this is the one league where it's so hard to predict week to week. In Liverpool, they draw West Ham 1-1 to end match day 25 in the English Premier League with 13 left to go. And now the lead is 3 points. The lead is 3 points. Liverpool has a 3-point advantage over Manchester City, last year's champions. Only a 5-point advantage over Tottenham Hotspur. Then you see a little bit of a gap between 3 and 4. That's where Chelsea sit in 4th at 50 points, so 7 points behind 3rd, 12 behind 1st. I think it's safe to say only the top 3 are able to win the league at this point. But still, we don't know who's going to win out of those top 3. Tottenham has injury problems. That cannot be understated. However, they've been squeaking by. They've been getting the results. And 3 points are 3 points. It doesn't matter how good or how ugly they are. 3 points is all that matters. Manchester City plays today against Everton. With a win, they will have drawn even with Liverpool. Now, they will have one game played more than Liverpool, so Liverpool will have a game in hand. But still, that's how close this league is. What are your thoughts so far?
I totally agree. Like, I understand what you're saying in the fact that Liverpool, I was kind of saying, like, Liverpool is probably going to take the Premier title. And, of course, I was wrong because I'm never right with my predictions usually.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that they won't, but a lot of people were saying that this was a done deal.
It was insurmountable, yeah. It was like, well, it seemed to be, it felt like that way because of, well, they were playing, but Manchester City is not a team to sleep on, of course, because, like you said, last year they won the title. And you're right, they're only 3 points behind. They're playing Everton, a not very good team. That's probably, they're probably going to win against. And honestly, I can see when this gets tied, even though they're one game extra than Liverpool, it's going to be very interesting to see how Liverpool responds to the fact that if they do end up being tied, how they're going to respond to it. Because their next game is against Bournemouth, like you were saying also.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
a tough game.
That is a tough game, but it is a game they can win. But Manchester City is also having their luck cut out for them either because they're facing Chelsea. Regardless, that's still a good team. So they're both playing some relatively tough teams when it comes down to it. And Liverpool just needs to know how to respond to the fact that if Manchester City is ended up tied with them at the end of today, it's all about how you finish. Like, that's every time we say that, that's such a redundant thing for me. But it's how you finish in any sport, really. So the fact of the matter is, Liverpool just needs to erase this tie they had to West Ham and just come and beat Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, speaking of teams that have had incredibly weird results, they beat Chelsea 4-0, and then they lose to Cardiff City 2-0. Like,
what is up with winning, shutting somebody out, and then you getting shut out?
Yeah, and at opposite ends of the table, you know? That's what this league is, though, and that adds more credence to the point that this league is too hard to predict. Now, we can say Manchester City is probably going to beat Everton today.
It is the most competitive league for a reason.
Yeah, we can say Manchester City will beat Everton today. But Everton, I don't know. Maybe they win. Like, it wouldn't shock me. It really wouldn't. Like, remember, Manchester City just lost to Newcastle United.
Yeah, that's the beauty of sports, right? Any team can win at any time. It's not like
any given day, right?
It's not predictable. It's not always predictable, you know? So, like,
Everton has plenty of world-class players on their team.
Absolutely,
you know?
But if Everton, well, Manchester City just has more talent.
Exactly.
But if Everton does win this, does Liverpool get to breathe a little bit, or do they?
Oh,
still,
yeah.
I'm saying, do they play even harder?
It is
still
funny too because Everton and Liverpool are huge rivals, so it would be nice to see their rival help them out.
So if you're Liverpool and Manchester City loses this, do you still say, oh, we got to win every single game?
Let's put it this way. If you're Mo Salah from Liverpool, mm-hmm. you walk across the street to the Everton Stadium because they literally are about half a mile apart from each other.
There's a lot of stadiums like that, aren't there?
You walk across the street, you maybe put on a wig or something, you put mm-hmm. on a blue shirt, and you go help Everton win, you know?
So you wait. As a fan or as a player, you sneak onto the pitch?
As a player. Look, Mo Salah, he's known for having his curly hair, his curly flowing hair.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you on a blue shirt. No. Maybe you put on a blonde wig or something like that.
No, just use a hair strainer. He should be fine.
And then you go put on the Everton shirt. I know that's blasphemy. You change your name, and then you put it on, and then you go help them win.
Wow, that just... So if Everton does win and a mysterious blonde player comes and scores two goals for them, I'm going to have some serious questions for you.
Yeah. Instead of Mo Salah, if his name is Mike Salad or something like that.
Mike Salad. That's the name you come up with?
Mike Salad, yeah.
How about like Salamos, like backwards. Just do it the opposite way. Or there like, or Mola Sal.
Solomon Moses.
Jesus Moses. Let's just go there.
That's what I would do, though. You know, but
cheat.
You know,
you're saying cheat.
Obviously, back to reality.
Oh, there goes gravity.
Back to reality here. This thing is wide open, man. There's 13 games left. Like, they've played 25.
There's plenty of soccer to play. There's plenty of 90 minutes.
There are 39 points available. 13 times 3. 39 points available.
Nice quick math there.
You just never know. You just never know. And what I like, though, is that I think one thing is for sure. This is going to come down to it because there are three teams. It's not just a two-team race. There's three.
Yeah, it's Hotspur's right there.
I think Tottenham will fall off. I truly do. Just because.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're injured. Like, they're getting. They're squeaking by.
Losing Kane is a big factor.
And Dele Alli. They lost Dele Alli. Like, look, they're getting by, man. They won. Their last game, they won 1-0 against Tottenham or against Newcastle. They won in injury time against Watford. Like, they're squeaking by. Now they're getting results. Like I mentioned earlier, it's wins.
Yeah, 3 points is
but
3 points.
But they play Leicester this weekend. That's going to be a tough game. That's a big game for Leicester too, because Leicester needs a win. They're under the gun themselves, and I could see Leicester getting a result there as they narrowly lost to Manchester United this last weekend. Tottenham also plays Dortmund in the Champions League. They also play Chelsea at the end of this month. So I do think it's going to be tough for Spurs to stay on track with Liverpool and City, but it's not out of the blue. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they do maintain, hold water, and then get their stars back.
Yeah, absolutely. There's still a lot of possibility left. They are holding on without Kane, which we've talked about in previous soccer podcasts, that is the biggest blow to them by far, is losing their best player. And right now, like you said, 3 points is 3 points, like you said before. So if they can hold on and beat Leicester, I can see them holding, like, I'm not taking them completely out of the question yet for out of the Premier League yet. I'm still holding my ground with them. But I understand what you mean by they could drop at any moment. Mm-hmm. Because they're on crutches at the moment, if you will.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I did want to mention is that Everton, they got embarrassed 3-1 by Wolves at the weekend. They were at home.
But the Wolves are hot right now, man.
They have won 3 in a row. They are on fire.
They're a flaming wolf.
They're actually like solidly in seventh right now, too. They are 4 points ahead of eight, which there was like a nice little cluster of teams there. And they've, you know, I don't want to make another pun, but they've kind of gotten away from the pack a little bit.
Oh, my God. Is this just the pun podcast now? I know.
The wolf pack?
Don't turn your back on
them. They're a pack. So
they are the wolves, after all.
But that it's still incredibly tight between 7 and 12. I mean, you're looking at between 8 and 12 in particular, Watford at 8 and West Ham at 12. There's only 2 points separating all those teams.
That's basically one game.
Yep.
That is one game. What am I saying? That is one game.
So for Everton, it is incredibly tough to go play City, but it is a big game for them. Maybe they get them in this weird midweek fixture that maybe.
But I think City knows the importance of this game is a little more important than it should be in circumstances where they could be tied for first at a shot of Premier. But if they lose, they might be in trouble, and Liverpool might win their next game, and now they're down 6 points instead of tied.
Uh-huh.
It could be a 3-point swing. So I think Manchester City is taking this a little more seriously than maybe they would have in the past.
Speaking of taking it seriously, Real Madrid and Barcelona, they're going to kick off the first leg of their El Clasico / Copa del Rey semifinal today in Barcelona at the Camp Nou Stadium. How big of a game is this for Real Madrid?
Well, to put it in American terms, this is basically like a Michigan versus Ohio State, the big game type of feel. It's an event, basically. And looking at that, Real Madrid, Is this the first El Clasico without Ronaldo, or is this like the second?
They played earlier this year.
That's right. So this is a big game, and Messi is also in the lineup that I saw recently. So that is a big factor in this for me. So, but Real Madrid, to make a statement, they need this win, but I don't think they're getting it.
It will be tough playing on the road in Barcelona. Again, we know that this is like a transitional season for Real Madrid. They still haven't, I guess, and it will take some time. It's going to take more than a season to rebuild that team. I mean, obviously, losing Ronaldo, but not just that, losing Zinedine Zidane.
It seems like they're on. I think they're in good progress, though, than most people have give them credit for.
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those things.
But it sounds like there's a great possibility of adding Hazard to that team, which would benefit them greatly in this circumstance, which would help them in like El Clasico for the future. But you also have to look at the fact that like one of the things in this game in particular is that Barcelona has I think they're all healthy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous Barcelona team. So that's why I'm saying maybe it's not this time, but you know, we will see. I can't rule out Real Madrid at all because it's still a Real Madrid club. So, but we'll see.
You know, they're not going to win the league. Like, Barcelona is going to win the league.
I think that was a given, no?
And I think that if they can win this home-and-home matchup, Copa del Rey semifinal, I think that could be somewhat of a silver lining in this season for Real Madrid. It will be incredibly
tough.
Take
something positive away from it?
Yeah, and they are for sure the underdog in this matchup. But if you do come away with the Copa del Rey trophy, it, I guess, alleviates the pain a little bit of, you know, losing, maybe having
a
worse season.
It's a consolation trophy.
Yeah. So it will be.
And if you beat Barcelona to get there, that is a huge, like, boost in, like, just when you come down to it. Like you said, you're trying to, like, get over the fact that you can't win your league. But, you beat your ultimate rival to get to win a cup in general. So there's something you can say, hey, that was a good moment for our club this year.
Uh-huh. But anyways, I think we should probably take a break and then come back and talk about a new wonder kid, a new Portuguese wonder kid that a couple major clubs are looking at. Mm-hmm. Also, more racial abuse in the English Premier League and, of course, taking a look at the Champions League fixtures upcoming.
Mm-hmm. But first, I want to talk to you about investing, because when investing and planning for your retirement, it's always best to get advice from the experts. Best-selling author Harry Dent, America's number one economist, says the dark window is open. There's an opportunity to rapidly boost your retirement savings for the greatest stock market crash in American history. But this dark window won't be open for long. You can make up to 10 times the annual average stock market gain in just a few short months. Find out more by going to www.harrydentforecast.com. There is a very short time to take advantage of this dark window. Once again, you want to take advantage? Go to www.harrydentforecast.com to learn more.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the GSMC Soccer Podcast. We spoke about the English Premier League and Eden Hazard and his whereabouts next season. Talked about how the league is heating up in general as Liverpool have drawn closer to the rest of the pack. We talked about City and Spurs still being in it. We also looked ahead at the Copa del Rey semifinal El Clasico edition, Real Madrid and Barcelona. Now, I want to go back to the English Premier League for a moment as talk about an issue that we've talked about before and doesn't seem to go away. It's really bothering me. It's still something that happens all too often in this game, in this world, in life in general, and it's super upsetting. But West Ham fans accused of abuse towards Mo Salah, racial abuse, of course. Mm-hmm.
And if there's actually video evidence of it, because there was a guy video where the guys were when he was doing his was it a corner kick or a free kick? I couldn't tell actually.
Wasn't even focused on that.
Yeah, it was a kick by Salah by himself, and there was a lot of curse words like calling him a wussy, but the other version of a wussy, if you will. But there was also basically mocking his religion, which is in a pretty offensive way. I'm not going to repeat, of course, what they were saying, but it was crossing a line.
Yeah, they're just making fun of the fact that Mo Salah is a Muslim, and it's disgraceful. It really is. And
just even if he was a Muslim, and they make fun of like anything about him, religion or not, it's just wrong of how they were doing it. It just they were making fun of him based off something about him, and it just. It was wrong. It was wrong on so many levels.
Will they, I don't know, find the person? I don't know.
Well, apparently they're investigating it, and West Ham has been saying, like, this is so unacceptable. We're gonna see, if they find them, there's going to be a lifetime ban, and just how unacceptable it was and how they have zero tolerance for that. But, of course, that's going to be their stake. That's going to be their position when it comes down to stuff like that. So it's not a surprise to anyone when they say that kind of thing.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens from it in terms of punishment, in terms of identifying the person or people involved. However, it's just another bad look, another black mark on the league. And again, it's not just England. This happens everywhere in Europe, especially in some places more than others. I know Italy's been a league where it's happened a lot over the last couple of seasons. But I don't know what they can do. I really don't. It's just I'm so tired of reading about it. I'm just so tired of – and it's not because I don't feel like it should be reported. It should obviously be reported. But I'm just tired of people acting in this manner, drinking too much
or
whatever.
There's always – unfortunately, we live in a world where that's always going to be an issue.
Like, I don't know if some people think this is funny. Like, I don't know if some people are like, oh, this is cool. But, man, it's just
– it's drunken behavior usually, and it's just like – kind of shows how people like either want to really get under the skin of certain players or that's how they really feel. You really don't know.
Yeah, it's just idiocy. Yeah. And it's
bigoted. That just
it takes away from the game. It takes away from, you know, it takes away from West Ham having a great game and giving Liverpool all they can
handle.
We're
not talking about their draw to the best team, the number one team in Liverpool. We're talking about their fan base being bigoted and offensive.
Right. So, I don't know if anything more needs to be said, but it is just another unfortunate situation.
It's troubling. It's a troubling situation where we have to talk about this because it needs to be said how wrong it is. And of course,
this is London, like the Chelsea incident in London, the West Ham incident in London. This is not some remote area. This is pretty much the metropolitan area of England. Like it's diverse. It's not. I don't know.
When you think
some
of
backwoods somewhere,
it's the center point, basically, of that the whole area. Like that's what everyone thinks of. So there's a lot to go on from that, and it's just very disappointing to see this happen again and again. And this is not just like that not just soccer. This happens in all sports, unfortunately.
Yes, big time. Moving on, João Felix. Remember this name because.
Juan Felix.
Is a name that is already garnering a lot of buzz. He is a player that could be on the move to a major club for a lot of money. This kid is a Benfica product in the Portuguese league. He is a Portuguese player. Some are calling him the new Ronaldo, quote unquote. And Manchester United and Real Madrid are tracking this kid. They have been under close watch for him. And it sounds like he will be on the move to a major club, and he knows it. He had some comments saying that he, you know, thinks it's great, and that he doesn't, that he welcomes that challenge, and, you know, his goal is to be one of the best. So he is a player to keep an eye out for. I'd imagine other players will be in on him, or some other teams will be in on him too.
Yeah, and I honestly kind of feel bad for him because of the fact he's the next Ronaldo, because that is such a high, like, it's flattering, no doubt about it, but that leaves him to so much, like, he can't make errors now. He's such in a high spotlight that it's almost unfair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I always feel bad for players that get compared to the greatest player of their generation because of the fact, like, that is living to so much hype that sometimes that's impossible to live up to. Like, saying you're the next Michael Jordan, or saying you're the next, like, Tom Brady or something of that nature. Like, you're living up to so much hype that one little mistake can cost you everything.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for him. I hope he lives up to the hype. But I just hate the fact that the journalists and some media just hypes them up to explosion.
Well, you know, it is what it is, right? It's all sensationalism. Yeah. But the fact is that this kid has represented Portugal at the national level. Mm-hmm. He does.
Oh, I'm taking nothing away
promising.
From his talent. I'm taking nothing away from that. I just hate the fact that, like, people just over exaggerate, and that leads.
Well, you know, there
to...
is an there is another side of the story, and because he's so hyped, which means he'll get a nice little
absolutely
contract by his next team.
Yes, absolutely, and I hope for the best for him. And of course, like, there is positive to it, but when you think of the negative, it's a little unfair to the kid. But I hope nothing for the best for him. He's already, like you said, he's been part of the Portugal national team, all the potential in the world.
He
so,
might play alongside Ronaldo at the next European Championship in next summer.
Now that would be interesting to see. I would love to see that.
Speaking of Ronaldo, he just turned 34. And his birthday was on February the 5th, and
which was yesterday.
And he shares a birthday with another soccer superstar. Who is that superstar?
Is it who I think it is?
I don't know who you think it is.
Is it a guy that's very similar to him in this generation, or is it a previous generation player?
It's somebody who is currently playing.
Is he in Barcelona?
He is not.
Okay. Is he in the Premier League?
He is not.
Then I'm out.
Ronaldo and Neymar share a birthday.
Really? Oh, I knew Neymar had a birthday yesterday because they're a huge bash that he had.
They are 7 years apart, but it's still interesting that maybe the top two players in the world have the same
birthday. If you're
born
in February 5th and you play soccer, you have a lot of potential. But
also,
I should have known that because Neymar had a huge birthday party.
Carlos Tevez, who's also a great player in his own right, Argentinian legend, he also is born on February 5th. February 5th might just be a holiday for soccer fans because of the talent that was born on that day.
Or if you're just born on February 5th and you're a soccer player, you have potential to be an all-time great.
Yeah, so if you're...
So if you're trying to have a kid and you want him to play soccer, try to make him...
If you have a baby on the way, aim for February 5th.
Exactly. Your due date's February 4th. Nope, holding on to him for another day.
I don't know how you specifically aim for one day, but maybe you could do things leading up to...
9 months exactly to February 5th. That's when you start to conceive.
There you go. So, Ronaldo, Neymar, and Carlos Tevez. That is one heck of a trio to be born on the same day. There's not many times you get three big name celebrities born on like that big on the same day, let alone three in the same sport.
Yeah, same sport, same kind of legacy. It's insane. Especially Neymar and Ronaldo right now, because of the fact they're two, like, as you said, the top two greatest in the world, arguably right now, and the most popular right now are probably Neymar and Ronaldo. So it's just. What are the odds of that happening in the same type of in the same time? You know what I mean? The same time these two have the birthdays and have the success they have right now.
Yep. Yep. And as we look ahead, next week we are back at the Champions League after a couple months off. Yeah, next Tuesday and Wednesday, we have four games in total, two games on each day. We'll kick off February 12th on Tuesday, United, Manchester United against the Neymar-less Paris Saint-Germain.
Is that a word now?
Yes, they will play the first leg at Old Trafford in England. You know, like we talked about before, a couple months ago when these fixtures got announced, when the matchups got announced, it looked like Manchester United was dead in the water. They had Jose Mourinho was still the coach. They were not playing well. PSG was on fire. PSG was healthy. Now PSG has no Neymar. Manchester United hasn't lost in about 5 weeks now. This is a different matchup than we thought when we first heard it announced. What are your thoughts going into next week for this matchup?
I'm loving it. I love the storylines. I love just the excitement. I cannot wait. It's the Champions League. It's just Champions League. You get all the hype in the world. It's a lot of pressure
on PSG too.
Oh, 100%, because you're missing, like we just said, the best player in the world on
Manchester.
Your team.
Really, no pressure because they're
Man City.
They were written off. Manchester United was written off a long time ago.
Yeah, you're right. Like they're on a complete roll right now. Like they're probably the hottest team in soccer.
Yeah, they're one of them. That's for sure.
Well, they haven't lost since they got their new coach.
Right.
And how long? That was like what, a couple months ago?
It's been about 5 weeks. So, yeah, it's been a while.
It feels like a couple months, yeah. So that's a little over a month.
The other game next Tuesday on the 12th is Roma from Italy. They will host Porto from Portugal. That's a pretty open affair. Based on the odds, it's kind of 50-50 on where it's going to go. So it will be interesting. However, on Wednesday, next Wednesday, February the 13th, Tottenham Hotspur. And they will be without, of course, Harry Kane, without Dele Alli. A Harry Kane and Dele Alli-less Tottenham Hotspur. They will host Borussia Dortmund. Christian Pulisic and Borussia Dortmund will come into town and see what they can do. Tottenham was a favorite.
Yeah, even without their best players, I think they still get some leeway because it's at home. I think that's
it.
It will be a tough game.
It will be
absolutely, but I think it helps it for being at home.
Dortmund is currently the German first place team. We will see if they can hold on to that. It looks like they should, but you know, it's going to be a fun match. And then the second match on Wednesday is Ajax from Amsterdam. They will be hosting the defending champions, Real Madrid. So Real Madrid will start off their second round campaign in the round of 16. Going to Holland to face Real Madrid. What are your thoughts about that?
Just facing Real Madrid is a challenge in itself. That's all I got to say about
that. Ajax is a good young team. Don't be surprised. I mean, I think Real Madrid, obviously, they have
the advantage.
They have the experience. They have older players. They have players who have been there before. But Ajax, man, they are a very young and exciting team. They could pose some problems.
I understand that. It's just a challenge when you're facing the mystique of a team like Real Madrid.
Absolutely. If you can get past the mental part of it,
yeah.
I think that Ajax matches up closer talent-wise than people will give them credit for. They'll just see the name. They'll say, Ajax, oh, Madrid should just walk through this one. But don't be surprised if it's a little bit closer, yeah.
But like you said, it's going to be a mental game first before it's on the field.
Now, if Ajax goes into the game, you know, playing like they're the underdog or thinking that, you know, this is Real Madrid and they tense up a little bit, maybe it's easy for Real Madrid. But if they can get past that mental part, I think they could do some damage.
Yeah, but that mental part is not an easy feat, of course. Like, that's not something you could just rub off or brush off. But I think, yes, they have the talent to do this, and it's going to be a very interesting to see how this plays out. Because we're going to see how this all plays out in, like, the first 5 minutes of the game and how they react to the mystique.
Yes. So, of course, today we do have that Everton-Manchester City clash. We will see what happens there. I don't know. I think it might also be a tough game for Manchester City. I know we kind of briefly talked about it before, but I do think that Everton on their best day can win for sure. So maybe today's that day. We'll see.
Yes, it's going to be very intriguing.
Other than that, we are finished for today. So thank you for joining us. Please join us next time as we cover all the latest in the world of soccer. Of course, check out the rest of our shows on our network if you haven't yet and you are interested. So anything else you'd like to say, Jeff?
Nothing. I'm just excited to watch El Clasico.
All right. So we'll see you next time. Have a good day, everybody.
Yep. Take care.
If this fucking... You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.